This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Well, I've been arguing it for months, and it's nice to see some folks jumping on board. Some will say it can't happen, but I love when it's put on paper and you get a roadmap of what it could look like.
Why do we have that attitude? These people that wanted to play so much in the fall now have this attitude of no, it's not possible.
Got to be a can-doer, Sprague.
Yes.
And Bill Connolly, our friend from ESPN, is a can-doer. Go give him a follow on Twitter, at ESPN underscore Bill C. He's also a professional nerd, so he's got that going for him. And he wrote an article entitled, What a Spring Season Could and Should Look Like for College Football. Bill, thanks for the time, man. Sorry we called your old number. Hopefully we didn't interrupt the person who bought your house or whatever. But you put this together. What kind of response have you got? Because I feel like this, when you throw out spring football, one, it's starting in January, so it's not fully in the spring. But there's like drastically different opinions on this. What has the reaction been to this piece so far today?
Well, it's really been – well, this shouldn't be a surprise at all, I guess. But it's been pretty polarized between – a camp that feels kind of soothed by it. Like, okay, I just couldn't wrap my head around it. Now I feel like, you know, maybe it's at least 1% likely to actually come to fruition, versus the other half of people who call me a bunch of names, usually from the SEC, say, you know, they absolutely don't want to have to go down this road. So it really, what amounted to a pretty tame piece about how things could work, or maybe it's not that bad, probably ticked more people off than most of the things I write, and I didn't even use stats to do it, so that was kind of unique.
Yeah, how unusual for you when you're not really diving so much into the S&P and you're still pissing people off with what you say about their football team. Let me ask you this. It's clear that the ACC and the Big 12 are just going to follow the SEC's lead, just like, yep, I think you could say the Pac-12 is going to follow the Big 10 lead.
Right.
There's been a lot of dissenting viewpoints within the Big Ten about whether they should play in the fall or push it. And obviously the Big Ten has made their ruling. Do you think it's an optimistic thing, though, that the prominent coaches within the Big Ten are really pushing for a winter 2021 sport or season? Whether that's 8 games, 9 games, we don't know. But that's good news for not only the Big Ten, but potentially the Pac-12, because I would assume they follow suit.
Yeah, I mean, that's been the funniest part about this whole thing. We none of us were really exploring the idea all that much. It was just, oh, that's a last resort. Sounds gross. And then that's the end of the conversation. But I talked to coaches back in March, April, May about this, and they were like, oh, it wouldn't be that bad. We'd figure it out. And like that, so that kind of remained. I talked to a couple of Big Ten coaches last week who were just like, it'd be weird and everything, but and you'd probably have to postpone the next season, start a little bit, but it's fine. We'd figure it out. It'll be good. Let's just play. Let's get get the money to pay everybody's salaries and get on TV and let's play for some stuff. And so they really, it was a weird PR thing, and I hate anytime PR gets involved at all when we're talking about a pandemic. But it was a weird PR moment on Monday when it came out that the presidents were either had decided or were going to decide or whatever, and all coaches started speaking up, like fighting for one last gasp in the fall and whatnot. And then the answer came down, and everybody except Nebraska, I guess, fell in line. But it really isn't that bad. Like, of course, it's inconvenient in many ways. And like I said, in the piece itself, like there, all the ways it's inconvenient are why we don't already have a spring season, but we could do it. This is a unique problem that is, part of the most unique year that any of us have lived through. And this would have, consequences for when you start 2021, probably, but whatever, let's do it. And let's embrace the weird idea and see if we can pull it off.
Yeah, we're talking with Bill Connolly of ESPN. Go give him a follow on Twitter at @ESPN_BillC. Wrote a great piece about what spring football could look like in college. We were talking about it too last segment. Like every other pro sport has had to basically crumple up what their plans are and draw a new one. It should be no different for college football necessarily. Yeah. So some of the big criticisms that you get, as you mentioned, it's going to butt up too close to the start of the next year. You can't have guys playing a contact sport like that. It's going to conflict with the NFL draft and the NFL combine. The weather concerns, it's, cold in Ohio and Minnesota in January or February. You go through a lot of these and just kind of, pinpoint our listeners of those arguments that get lobbed against this not working. What are the counter arguments for them working?
Well, and some of them don't have counter arguments. The idea that a lot of the top level pro prospects are going to opt out even more than already had, it's probably true. That if you've proven yourself as a first round prospect, there's really not going to be much motivation for you playing, against Minnesota in February. Like your status is kind of established, and that stinks. Guys are going to opt out. Whatever. We've already seen that though, and we were probably still going to see that over these coming weeks if nobody had canceled. We probably still will if we're going to still have some guys, some conferences attempting fall ball here. And so, it kind of stinks, but that might have to be part of this. We're sifting between wrong answers here, and that might just have to be part of the deal. But the weather thing could be overcome pretty, especially if you're thinking about the Big Ten. You've got three indoor stadiums, and the NFL season's going to end in late January or whenever, or early January, and then late January if the Colts make the playoffs or whatever. You've got indoor facilities, and as a coach pointed out to me at the time, you've got tons of hotels nearby. You could easily kind of establish that as part of your ongoing bubble, so to speak, and while travel could still be a concern, you could play indoors. Like, you're playing the practice facilities, you got a 100-yard practice facility, play there. Like, get weird, there's no reason not to, and so that can be overcome, I think. And again nobody's saying, they're going to have to play 24 games in 9 months, right? You're not going to play March to June and then August to November or whatever. It would be a shortened season. Ryan Day was talking about starting on January 1st, which would certainly be unique and interesting in and of itself, especially if there's a fall season wrapping up then. That'd be super fun. But, you can overcome that. You have a short season. You can postpone the 2021 season a month. If you play 8 or 9 games and then you have 4 months in between, I'm not a doctor, so they'd have to sign off on it. But that doesn't sound terrible. I think that would be okay.
Well, Bill, where are you in becoming the commissioner of college football? Because years ago, before you went big time on us and went to ESPN, you had an article on your old employer's website about being the college football commissioner, and you laid out a great plan. We brought you on to talk about that. Is it in the works? Because it feels like to me, Bill, you're ideas that you shot in the article are great. I'm for every single one of them, whether that's 8-game conference schedule and that's kind of the season, a huge tournament. I don't know what they would do, but I love all the ideas you brought. In all seriousness, do you feel like college football right now is needing a commissioner, president, whatever you want to label it, now more than ever?
Yeah, it's been horrible these last couple of weeks. Just watching us fall back into our habits of ACC's maneuvering against the SEC and the scheduling and the Pac-12, the SEC is going to hold out and try to, say we care about football and they don't, and all these things, because we have no leaders. We got 5 commissioners who sort of control things, and then, 12 or 14 presidents get involved when the real big decisions are made, and then it goes back to these 5 commissioners, and it's just a disaster. And it works, college football is a multi-billion dollar industry. Clearly it works most of the time. But what we saw here is, in a crisis moment, they're going to have to fight each other to figure out plans. And that's ridiculous. It's hard for me to, if we're just going to say, okay, yes, there should be a commissioner. How does that come about? Is it just, the 5 P5 commissioners appointing a commissioner to commission over, to lord over them? Or is it coming from the government at this point? The Senate's, Cory Booker and Blumenthal are putting together a athlete's bill of rights, supposedly, for college athletes. Do you start to incorporate that into some sort of USA track and field style commission at the government level? How does it come about? Because the biggest issue or the biggest problem I've had with the idea of a commissioner all along is it's just going to be one of the athletic directors doing it, and nothing's going to actually be any different.
Yeah, the playoff impact, too. You see that, right, with ADs who are saying, yeah, well, I can't vote for my team, but fans still point to it. Yeah, you got the Big Ten bias. We all see what's going on there. What do you think of Mark Emmert? He is somebody obviously running the NCAA. I can already hear you chuckling. He basically punted on any authority on this and just left it up to every institution. Doesn't seem like that should have been the move given the partnership supposedly between college football and the NCAA. What did you make of Mark Emmert?
Well, I mean, he doesn't have any authority, really. Like, they can basically just, you know, strongly urge for things to happen. And I think it has been eye-opening for a lot of people in that, like, you know, the NCAA in this regard doesn't really have any control over college football, or at least the top level of college football, and this kind of enforced it. So Mark Emmert is basically just a dartboard. He you know, absorbs a bunch of the criticism for others, kind of like Roger Goodell at the NFL level, and I guess he does a pretty good job of that. But you know, I did enjoy a couple weeks ago in an interview, I think it was with Heather Dinich of ESPN. He's like, "Oh, I think the commissioner idea is terrible. You can't do that. This isn't blah blah blah." Like, well, that just kind of confirms that maybe this is a pretty good idea if you're rebelling against it so forcefully.
Great. I missed that interview. We're talking with Bill Connolly of ESPN. Great piece that he put out today. We tweeted it out, what a spring season could and should look like for college football this upcoming year. Now, I know you just mentioned a few moments ago you're not a doctor, but I'm going to ask you a question like you are anyways, because we have listeners texting in saying, all right, well, hold on. If it's not safe right now because the virus is out of control, are we assuming the virus is going to be gone by January? We all know that's likely not to
be. Well, not gone, but
not
yeah.
Not gone, but like we know that's probably not going to be the case. So, I'm just curious how that plays into your thinking of a January, February, March season with where we're at with COVID.
Yeah, I mean, we can hope for a lot regarding the virus itself, but there's really nothing to count on there. And recent months suggest that we should never count on that, apparently. But just generally speaking, there are two things that I think could absolutely improve in the coming months. Number one is just our knowledge of the effects here, because that was part of it. The myocarditis issue, it wasn't just that, you know, some of the athletes who tested positive a few months ago ended up with this issue. It's that we don't know, like, how long it's an issue, how serious it's an issue. Like, we're butting up towards the season here in the fall, and we just don't know everything we need to know. There's nothing saying that'll absolutely change in 4 months, but it could. It offers more time and a few more months of knowledge to figure out exactly what we're dealing with in terms of side effects. The other thing that can change is just the rapid result testing is not where it's supposed to be. You know, of all the problems I thought we might have in these last 5 months, I just assumed we would have that kind of drive through, get your results in an hour kind of testing. And, you know, a lot of the max schools, you know, you start to add it up, they're having to pay $100 per test still in like July. They were never going to be able to afford that. And so over these coming months, if we get somewhere with that, it's not really in college football's hands, but surely, maybe we can clear that bar, even though we haven't cleared many bars so far. If that improves, and if the testing gets cheaper and faster, and you can track, you know, the issue better, then you can get somewhere. Because that was going to be an issue. These coaches have formed bubbles, like the coaches with the money at the power conference schools have formed pretty good bubbles. The test results are good now. That's about to change with students coming back and school starting and hitting guys from other schools for 60 minutes and all that. And then being able to trace that stuff as quickly as possible is going to make a massive difference. So those things can. Everything else we don't know, obviously, but those two things could theoretically improve.
What was your favorite idea that you came up with? Like, if you had to make the decision for college football, what plan would you go with of the plan options you gave us in that article? Because I know where I would lean.
And tell me it's a 32-team playoff. I want that playoff, baby.
I think you're leaning towards that because you're the guy, kind of guy to be on our level with that. Where would you go if you could make the call?
I can't even really completely take credit for that. I had the conference jamboree idea where, you know, you play your division and then you play an 8-team, like, Maui Invitational style tournament. I enjoyed that. When I shared that with a coach the other day, because I was trying to figure out, like, what they had actually talked about at this point, and the answer was nothing. Like, nobody had talked about this issue at all until, like, Sunday night or something. But he actually said, well, why don't you just flip that around and have a giant playoff? So we went with that. Yeah, everybody plays 6 games. Then you have a 32-team playoff. At most, then you're playing 11 games if you made the finals. That sounds great. Let's just Let's do that anyway, maybe, but let's definitely do it if we're playing football in late March against other teams.
I am all for it. Bill Connolly of ESPN. Go give him a follow at @ESPN_BillC. A great piece that we tweeted out and you can find on his timeline as well. What a spring college football season could and should look like. I love the thought put behind it and getting some theories going on what it could and should look like. Bill, thanks so much for the time, man. We know you're busy right now with everything going on, so thanks for taking a few minutes for us.
Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.